Well, welcome everyone to our second episode of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be joined his first visit to the program this season by the head coach of the Boston University women's team, Brian DeRocher. Women's program in its 18th season, Coach DeRocher in his 18th season, as he has led the Terriers since, well, literally and figuratively, day one of their journey through the world of women's hockey and in the Hockey East Association. Coach, always a pleasure to talk hockey with you, and the season is, what, about 20% done? I'm not a math guy, and just at this juncture, as you get ready for another big Hockey East weekend, you've got 12-ranked Providence this weekend, always a learning experience for a coach. What have you learned about your team so far this season in terms of what maybe some of your expectations were and some of the changes with seven newcomers to the program, et cetera?
Sure. Without a doubt, you know, as we, I think our eight games plus an exhibition game in this season and you know, a number of practices closing up on almost, you know, month and a half, you do have a little bit of a picture. And probably the thing that's been a whisker surprising is we maybe haven't been as sound as I might like on the back end, you know, just a little bit of erratic play, some early goals to start games, and you know, that's the area where I think there's plenty of experience and plenty of depth, you know, back not just on D but in the goal as well. So that's probably an area we've got to tighten up. Of recent, we've had a little bit of a surge on the power play, which was an area I sort of identified as a potential area of improvement, because last year we fought it, particularly the last 19-20 games, and we're never able to change the momentum or you know, get that key goal. And all too often, you know, there was one goal scored and just not enough offense. You know, I don't think we'll do it individually offensively. It's got to be by committee. But when you get a 5-against-4, your expectations are to go and score goals.
And you mentioned that, Brian, and been around the game longstanding, going back. To me, that's been one of the really glaring, I think, aspects of the game. It seems like so less gets done, it seems like, 5-on-5 in terms of teams being able to neutralize each other. But it has made those man-up situations just all the more imperative to be able to get the advantage and take the advantage when you get the chance.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it goes back to the goaltenders just being in a position of dominance, both on the men's side and the women's side. When you look at, you know, 930s and 940 save percentage not being uncommon, the only chance you've got is when you can get a sort of grade A or B-plus opportunity, which happens on the power play, because you can sometimes outnumber people. The back door is harder to cover when there's one less player out there. And those are the ones that go in, you know, and I think they're the ones that people can sort of hit a tough spot in the upper corner or, you know, down low above the pad, where 5-on-5 is awful hard to get to that position in the game unless you are fortunate enough to have a couple of the great individuals who can, you know, beat people with their speed or their strength or great hand skills. So without a doubt, it puts a premium on how nice a job you do on the power play and, you know, how strong you are killing penalties. Getting that puck out when you have a chance is imperative, because if, you know, you don't get enough mustard on it and the right D keeps it in, and all of a sudden you've got 30 more seconds of puck movement, people get, you know, fatigued, and good opportunities occur that can really, really change the complexion of the game.
In goal, all important, the position that you played all the way back in your career. You had Callie Shanahan returning as a sophomore this season, but you also landed quite a coup as far as the grad transfer with Andrea Brandley. Quite a pedigree, quite a resume that she brings to your program, Ohio State, Olympian, et cetera.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, Callie's one of these people that I think is just moving up the ladder in her ability and her accomplishment. Certainly had success this summer playing in the U.S.-Canada series at the U-22 level. And so we're looking for big things from her. And obviously to have somebody like Andrea join us Wisconsin's and Minnesota's and Duluth's. She's been in, you know, world championships, Olympic games, against very tough opponents like Sweden and Finland, and then maybe slightly overmatched opponents in the U.S. and Canada. So the lessons she's learned, you know, the scars that she's had, all learning experiences that are hard to match, because not that many people have gone through those type of wars. So I see a kid who's real composed and very poised, and has had a real nice start here at BU.
You mentioned she set some records there in Beijing, 242 saves in the Olympic tournament. Some goalies would still be getting over that from about 6-7 months ago.
No question. Again, that's the aforementioned learning experience that, right, you know, wasn't all perfect in her eyes, but without a doubt something that she, you know, got probably mentally and physically hardened by, and it has only made her better.
No doubt. And you mentioned about the decor. You do have a pretty good blend there of veterans. Your captain is a member there. You've got you've got grad students. You've got an outstanding junior with Julius Shaughnessy, but it's also given you the opportunity to work in some of the members of your freshman class in that unit.
Absolutely, and you know the two freshmen have gotten acclimated to the game here. Maeve Kelly and Brooke Disher are both quality skaters. You know, both people with good resumes coming here. Like everybody else that's young, they've got things to learn and parts of this game to get used to. But they have played good hockey coming up the ladder and have had a nice start. You combine that with probably, you know, Nadia Mativi being the consummate leader and probably the top kid on our D. To go with a lot of experience after that, a whole bunch of, as you mentioned, a grad school and a student in Alec Dallin, you know, to have Tamara Giaquinta and Julia Shaughnessy and Alexander Calderoni all being here is super important because they've got speed. You know, we were even able to move Matty Cardacey up to forward the last couple of games, which is a plus. And apologies to Andy Calderoni that I, confused her with a sister who was a wonderful four-year player here.
You mentioned, and as far as the quality of the players that you're bringing in, and just so many of your players over the years have had that international experience, and case in point with Brooke Disher, she comes in as a captain of the Canada U18, so she's had some great experience at the international level to have on her resume coming to BU.
No question. You know, Brooke's a fun kid to watch. Again, as I mentioned, there's a learning curve for everybody when they're young, but she's super competitive and, you know, has been recognized as a leader, and there's never a problem having extra leaders in their locker room. You know, they may not have to be that as a freshman, but if they have the qualities, if they have the good decisions they make, those are all going to pay dividends now and more importantly down the road.
Up front, 11 of your top 15 scorers back from a year ago. You talked about it by committee. You do have a veteran presence there to give you some offense, and then you're heartened by the fact that you have a week like last week where you boast Sydney Healy as the rookie of the week. She had a big weekend with a 3-goal weekend for you against Merrimack.
Yeah, no, I think the veterans that you may have talked about without saying names, certainly Lacey Martin and Julia Neeris have had a real good start. We've had different people play with them, but, you know, they have sort of opposite skills, one being the consummate skater and carries the puck up the ice pretty well, the other one being a little more subtle offensive presence thanks to, you know, size and reach and composure with the puck, but they work together well. And, you know, we're happy that Matty Cardacey joined them last weekend and really looked in a good order, very comfortable there, which is super important. And, you know, Sid has got hands. She's got strength on her skate. She's got great composure and good
And assessment, you've been around, obviously, with Hockey East and for the tenure of this BU program. Your thoughts now, you've had three back-to-back weekends. You got another one coming up. Close to going back a couple of weeks, close to a sweep against UNH in a game where you rallied back twice and just fell short in overtime.
Yeah, you know, we seem to have the Friday good games and not quite as good Saturday games start the season, and that was one of the certainly two weekends that happened, and no particular reason why. I think the Cards were equal. We both played each other two nights in a row, had the same amount of rest. You know, the first weekend there was about a 5-hour difference in our Friday play time from Union, so that put us at a little bit of a disadvantage. But good to know we kept fighting back, but we've got to avoid those erratic early decisions and untimely goals in the early part of the game. You know, I think one game it was 8, 9, 10 seconds, and the other one was about first minute. So let's see if we can improve those two things and not put ourselves into holes.
Now, most recently, the weekend against Merrimack, and a complete turnaround, as you point out there. You had the loss on the road on Friday, but nice bounce back on Saturday with Brantley in goal. The aforementioned Julian Neres had two goals for you. And once again, Brian, power play looming large in that one, 5-2 victory. You hit 2 for 5 on the power play. You're going to win a lot of games that way.
Absolutely. And all too often we were giving pucks away, people maybe trying to press to make a play, but we've been really trying to push the envelope on, 5, 6, 7 passes, and then let's all be looking to shoot the puck, but also using our feet to get off the flanks and get 3, if not 4 people at the net and sure shoot. And that's where goals were scored, the one at Merrimack, the 2 at BU here. And, we had won the game before against BC that was more of a wrist shot with a sort of mid-slot tip. But this weekend in particular, all 3 goals were scored with bodies at the net and pucks at the net, and we did move it around. Even the first power play, when we didn't score, there was a lot of puck possession, a lot of opportunities, and we probably just got a little cute with some shots that flew over the net or maybe into the goaltender's gut. But if we keep doing that, it bodes well for confidence and momentum and that ability to change the game. You know, a scary 2-1 lead all of a sudden becomes 3-1, and everybody starts to look good and feel good.
No doubt. And you've got, I think, quite an intriguing schedule. I mean, you're battling through the Hockey East schedule. Home and home with Providence. You've still got Vermont on the road. You got a home and home with UConn. But then I guess Vegas, baby. late November, did you ever think you'd be going to Vegas for a women's hockey tournament? Probably 10 years ago, you probably thought that was never going to happen.
I would say I didn't have it in the back of my head. But, thanks to a call from Coach Frost out at Minnesota, he invited us and, Penn State and Yale, and I believe we all accepted his first offer. And it'll be exciting, as a lot of people have probably never been there, so we'll get a chance to get a little bit of a flavor of Vegas. Get a chance to take in a Golden Knights game, see the arena and play in the arena where the American League team plays, and just spend the holidays together. While maybe the idea of being at home is great. Most of these people are going to do that for the majority of their life, and to have a sort of a team bonding thing and a chance to go out there is great, and I think everybody's really excited.
Well, from Vegas all the way across the country for a special Thanksgiving weekend, and then at the end of the holiday season, it's going to be festive at Fenway. There's going to be a lot of hockey played, and as part of the Winter Classic, you'll be able to write your own story with the Winter Classic and the announcement that your Terriers will be facing Holy Cross at Fenway Park.
Yeah, super exciting. We've been the one that hasn't quite gotten a chance to go there through the years, and to have an opportunity. We're appreciative of Hockey East and the support that the administration here at BU put to on people's radar, and they realize that you know, the closest school to the ballpark should probably get a chance to get involved there on the women's side.
Indeed. And also an announcement that was made recently with the Boston University 2022 Hall of Fame class. Not exactly a surprise that one of your former players, who's still very active in the game of hockey as a player and now working with the Bleu Blanc Rouge there in Montreal as player development consultant, Marie-Philippe Poulin, is going to be a member of that class. I'm sure you got an immense amount of pride there, Brian.
Yeah, super super exciting that you know, she's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. I think it's a very appropriate, not just for accomplishments at Boston University, but her worldwide accomplishments.
Yep.
And everything she's done in the game, for the game, and will continue to do as a ambassador, as a professional, and still as a great player. You know, she doesn't seem to lose a stride here, and you know, as the years go by, it becomes more and more amazing what she accomplishes. But you know, again, she isn't absolutely at the top of the record books at Boston University, but the person who has the most cachet in everybody's eyes, and great honor for her.
Indeed, the case. And with that, was the mention that Brooke Disher with the captaincy the last three championships following Marie-Philippe Poulin, who was captain of the Olympics and the World Championships, and now, and then Brooke coming next from Boston University. And I'd be remiss, Brian, as we wrap up, to not mention the importance of your young ladies and the members of your team, your women in the community, recently participating in the Making Strides Walk, and the performance, perfect. They say nobody's perfect. Well, your team is perfect with the academic progress rating, just an outstanding 15 all academic selections in Hockey East. You've got two AHCA Crampate All-American scholars. That's a testament to you and the program, and the fact that that all aspects of the student athlete experience are being addressed and made accountable for.
Thanks, Bernie. That was a quite a dissertation there of accolade, and needless to say, we're super proud. And I think there's an innate pride that comes through the locker room from an academic standpoint, the you know, the community service that not only the Cancer Walk, but we had a big clinic here. We've had an autograph session. You know, the kids were involved in Splash in the first week of school. The carriers returning to campus, helping people move in the dorms, and you know, there'll be more as the year goes on. But now that we're post-COVID, it was nice to get back to some of those activities that were on lockdown for a couple of years.
Indeed. Thanks very much for joining us here as we bring back Inside BU Hockey. All the best, my friend.
My pleasure, and thank you very much.
Brian DeRosier, head coach of the Boston University women's hockey team, our guest here on this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. We'll be back. Well, welcome everyone to our second episode of Inside BU Hockey. Bernie Corbett pleased to be getting it started here with Terrier head coach Jay Pandolfo as we go from the women's side to the men's side here this week. And coach, we've talked about the educational process of your team, your educational process as a head coach. Not a math guy, but you played about 20% of the season right as of this point, and negotiated quite a gauntlet in terms of the opponents, three ranked opponents the past three weekends. Overall, good time, bad time for a break. I know you had some great momentum coming out of that overtime win on Saturday.
Yeah, I prefer not to have a break. You know, I thought, you know, we could gain some momentum off Saturday's game, but I understand the schedule, and you know, this is the week we have off. Obviously, as a team, we'd like to be playing, but it also gives us a chance to take these 2 weeks and kind of, you know, get organized and kind of figure out what we need to get better at as a team, and we have time to work on those things. So that's the advantage of having a couple weeks off. And you know, as always, you're always going to have some guys that are banged up a little bit, so it also gives them a chance to get some rest before we go into another you know, big Hockey East weekend.
Indeed, you'll have a couple of those coming up, and then a big non-conference game we'll talk about a little bit later. But, let's start. A good place to start. You talk about health. Goaltending position, Drew Commesso, he missed some time. Lower body injury, was back in the cage on Saturday. His status, probably grateful to get a little bit more rest before you get back into it with UMass.
Yeah, it's good. It was great, number one, to see him back. You know, obviously, Benny played excellent for us.
Yes.
But, you know, it was good to get Drew a game. He was definitely healthy enough to go for Saturday, so it was nice to get him a game before having the two-week layoff. And I thought he played extremely well. He's feels fine after it as well, so that's good that we have him back and healthy.
And looking overall, the veteran presence is one of the themes for this season, with having the double-digit number of seniors, which we've talked about as being rather unusual in college hockey to have that type of a core group back. Leading that core group, really, a couple of guys that have really stepped up. Matt Brown, off to an excellent start for you, gaining some Hockey East accolades recently, last week with Player of the Week. And Dom Fensori leading the blue line group. It seems like a couple of guys that have jumped out to get off to impressive starts for you.
Yeah, they both played very well. They both, you know, they both came in, you know, prepared, you know, motivated. I think after last season, you know, with Matt Brown, I'd arguably say he's been our best player since the day one we stepped on the ice for practice. He's got an extra gear this year. He really prepared himself by, he certainly wasn't out of shape, but he dropped a little weight. So I think it's helped him, help his skating. He looks quicker to me, and he actually looks stronger, even though he doesn't weigh as much as he did last year. So he's been really good. He's the one thing I've seen from him too, is he's much more detailed in his defensive game this year. And that's something we talked about after the year last year, that that's something that he has to concentrate on. The offensive stuff comes naturally to him. So he's done a really good job in that regard of, you know, his details in the D zone have been really good up to this point. So that's a credit to him. And, you know, he enjoys being coach and wants to be coach. So you appreciate that as a coach as well. And then Dom, he's our captain. He really is one of the, and I think I've said this before to people, but the kid really is one of the most competitive kids I know. He wants to make a difference every time he steps on the ice. He just has that mentality and that attitude, and he wants to win. Like, he really cares about winning, and I think it rubs off in our guys. I think his competitiveness and his will to win rubs off in the rest of the team. So he's been really good. He's been really good for us, and I would suspect that he's going to be like that, you know, the rest of the year. So he's been excellent. He's been a great leader. He's played very well up to this point.
And a couple of guys that have yet to get off the schneid scoring-wise, but based on their resumes, you expect maybe squeezing the stick a little bit tighter at this point. Jay O'Brien, Wilmer Skoog, unusual to see that they haven't scored, but you know that they're going to. Just a question, I think, for both of them. They get the first one, it's going to start to jump in the net. They've had their chances.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time. I think there's no question they're both probably squeezing the stick a little bit too much. The one thing that's good is they are getting their chances. I think you worry more if they're not getting chances, but if they are. They're getting grade A chances too. Both of them. Both of them have plenty of chances to score. You know, sometimes you just for whatever reason it's not going in the net for them right now. And you know, the message to them is just, you know, don't press too much in that regard. Just think about playing the game the right way. You know, they're both centermen, so they both have to make sure they're doing their job in the D zone and playing good 200-foot hockey. You know, the goals are going to come, but they don't want to change their game because they're not scoring. And I think both of them have done a good job with that. They're both still, you know, trying to play the right way, and it's going to come for them. And I think, you know, for both of them, it'll just take a little bit of weight off their shoulders, I feel like. But overall, I think they've both played pretty well.
And two of your veterans that are off to excellent starts, all the way around. Anyway, I think that you can break it down. It'd be great to see the contributions of Sam Stevens and Jamie Armstrong. They're often been in tandem on the fourth line with Devin Kaplan. They've been in tandem in terms of a factor in your penalty kills. But to me, Jay, really what college hockey is all about is to see guys that come along and progress over a four-year career. You're seeing that with the way that these guys are playing for you. They're accountable, they're responsible, and have been a big factor for you here in the early going.
Yeah, no question. They both have been very good up to this point. You know, they both have the same mentality. They really prepared. They work every day. They care about the details. They play the right way. They're good teammates. They accept and embrace their roles. I think that's really important. And both of them do that. You know, Sam Stevens is arguably our best penalty killer. He's relied upon to have a lot of D-zone starts because he's good on faceoffs. So that's the other thing for those guys. They start a lot in our D-zone, which is tough. You got to get all the way down to them before you can get any offense going. And they do a good job with that. They keep it simple, and they play the right way, and they play a direct game. And that's what makes them successful. They keep it simple. They're a hard forechecking line, and they can protect the puck down low, and they'll get to the net, and they've been rewarded a little bit because of it this year. And the good thing for us as a coaching staff is that we know we can rely on them, and you know we'll throw them out against anyone, which is nice to have.
No doubt. Looking deeper as far as the decor, you knew you had a veteran presence there coming in with Ty Gallagher returning as a sophomore, Cade Weber as a junior, Case McCarthy as a senior, all key guys for you. McCarthy wearing one of the letters on the sweater also. The sixth spot is one that is really under constant scrutiny and competition. You've got some great time from Copeland, from John Copeland, and we saw Thomas Jarman get some time last week, and I expect that that's going to continue to be an area where there's going to be competition from week to week to see who's going to be wearing that sweater on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, there's no question there's competition for that sixth spot. I thought John Copeland, I think he played the first six games, and I thought he played well. He didn't, last couple of games he played, he didn't get as much ice time, so it's tough to really judge. So I just thought it was an opportunity to get a look at another defenseman. And Jarman has experience, has played. I thought he's been pretty good in practice, so I just wanted to get him in there and give him an opportunity. And I'm sure it's going to happen again with some other guys. You know, we have plenty of depth on D. And I think there'll be some games, too, where I start playing 7D. Up to this point, I've played 13 forwards every game. And that can be a challenge. So at some point here, we'll probably look to play 7D, too. So that'll give me an opportunity to see some more guys as well.
And it's great to see that the Aganis Arena, that home ice factor, can't be underestimated. Now 9-3-2 through the last 14 for the Terriers, and the three losses have all been in overtime, and it seems like that there's a buzz and a great feeling back in the building. Student attendance has been running very high. Just a lot of good karma, a lot of positive feeling and atmosphere around the building on game night.
Yeah, it's important. It's one of the things we've talked about is, you know, we need to be good at home. We have to be difficult to play against at home. You know, we have to get the job done. We're home, and that's, our guys understand that. I think up to this point, we've done a pretty good job. You know, I think, like you said, it started a little bit last year, and, you know, we need to make sure that we take advantage of that. So up to this point, it's been good.
What's the report card from the coach on special teams? The power play up over 20%, 21%. The PK is around 80 right now, and that's always in development and an experiment sometimes as far as getting the right pieces on the ice at the right time.
Yeah, no question, both could be better. I think the penalty kill, I think it certainly hurt us in the Michigan game. I think we gave up 3 or 4 power play goals. It's tough to dig yourself out of that hole. It takes a little while to get that percentage back up. I think if you take that game away, I think our penalty kill percentage is probably pretty high, but that'll really hurt you when you give up 4 in a game. I think we gave up 3 or 4, but either way, that's a lot to give up in one game. So that has certainly hurt us. I think our power play has been very inconsistent, and I think the biggest part of that has been our execution. I don't think it's been nearly as close as it needs to be to have success. I think it's been okay at times. We've had our moments. I think we've scored in 6 of 7 games, if I'm not mistaken, on it. I don't think we scored last game. I think we scored a goal in each of the other games on the power play.
Six
so
previous,
we're certainly capable of scoring on it, but we're just not consistent from power play to power play. And even at times when you're not scoring, it can give you momentum if you're executing and you're getting your scoring chances. It gives the offensive players confidence. It's the times when you're not executing, you know, that's when your offensive players get frustrated. So we certainly need to be better there, and I think it starts with just the execution. And we're still moving pieces around a little bit, trying to find what the right fit is. But I think one of the things, too, is that we certainly need to have more of a shot mentality on the power play. That's something that we've been trying to stress lately, and, you know, sometimes we just, for whatever reason, get away from that. I think we have the most success on the power play when we do get pucks in that, and then we recover pucks, and then we make our plays off of that. I think that's something that we have to get back to and have success on a regular basis on the power play.
And overall, there's been some great success, Coach, at the dot. You've had some really outstanding nights and overall pretty consistent performance on faceoffs.
Yeah, the faceoffs have been really good. We had some experience taking draws. O'Brien, Skoog, and Stevens are all seniors. They have a lot of experience in this league and in college hockey taking faceoffs, so we certainly should have the advantage there with those three guys. And Ryan Green has done a really good job as a freshman on faceoffs as well. He's had some nights he's been excellent. He's had some nights he struggled a little bit, but overall he's been good, and I expect he'll get better.
And that brings me to the freshman class. And most nights there are five freshmen in the lineup: Green, Wilmer, and Hudson. Quinn Hudson has spent a lot of time as a line. Kaplan seems to be the piece to join Armstrong and Stevens, and then of course Lane Hudson on defense. Overall assessment of the freshman class and their impact. You knew that this could be a very impactful freshman class, but you also know you came in as a very young freshman. People may not remember from Burlington High School, 17 years old, what that whole experience and that learning curve is like.
Yeah, it takes time, and I think overall it's been very positive. I think they've had some really good games. I think they've had some games where maybe they didn't play as much, and I thought they maybe struggled a little bit. And they have to understand at times, too, depending on penalty situations, special teams, this and that, they might not get as much ice time, but they do have to take advantage of the ice time they do get and have to be ready for it. And I thought it slipped a little bit. I thought on Saturday night, the freshman line was probably our best line overall Green, Hudson, and Wilmer. I think they created more scoring chances than any other line. I thought they were really good in their defensive zone. They spent most of the night in the offensive zone, which always helped. So I thought Saturday was probably their best overall game as a line. And I think as a line, they played the most minutes they played up to this point, and they earned it. So that's important for them to understand, too, that, you know, the better they play and the more the coaching staff sees them, show that they understand the systems and the habits and the details, that they'll get more ice time, and they're rewarded because of it on Saturday night. Lane Hudson, obviously, I mean, he's a difference maker out there. It's clear to everyone that watches us play when he has the puck, there's a pretty good chance something good's going to happen. So he's been excellent. The one thing with him, too, is he's been getting better every game defensively, and that's something that he's been working on. He spends a lot of time with Kim Branville going over video and watching and wants to learn, wants to be coached. So he just continues to get better in that area. The better he is defensively, it's going to help his offensive game because he's going to have the puck more, and that's where he clearly shines.
No doubt. Big part of the modern era of hockey, Coach, is the defenseman can play, can thrive, be very successful. At a size that was unheard of, you think back to even to your playing days going up to the next level, and a lot of that is about technique. You mentioned about Kim Branfold, that the way that guys play, the way that they use the stick, the way that they angle to end and eliminate plays. It's really been quite an evolution.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think over the course of the last, 10 years, maybe 8 years, or, you know, the it's a different game. It's a lot faster. It's about transition. It's about, you know, breaking pucks out quick. And I think the, if you want to call them undersized defensemen, you know, they have that ability to transition the play quick and make a great first pass, and then even sometimes use their feet to get out of trouble. I think that, you know, has been a benefit to the game. The game's faster because of it. And, you know, now too, like you can't hold up as much on the forecheck and all those sort of things. So the guys that mm-hmm. are a little quicker can, you know, separate a little easier than maybe some of the bigger guys going back on a puck. So it's been fun to watch. You know, you see it all across the National Hockey League as well with some of these defensemen.
Yeah, the big thing about improving defensively is make sure you're not defending a lot.
No question about that. That's the easiest way to defend is have the puck.
Indeed. Coach, as we wrap it up here and appreciate the time, looking ahead, once again, you've navigated your way through Michigan, UConn, UMass Lowell, all teams that are ranked, well-regarded. Now it's UMass, it's Northeastern, it's Notre Dame before Thanksgiving. Just all focus now to UMass. Any early thoughts? It's still a week away, but be a big challenge for you. That should be a great weekend of hockey.
Yeah, it's going to be there. I mean, they're obviously a really good team. Another really well-coached team. I think up to this point, we're focusing more on our team this week. Mm-hmm. Just like like I was talking about earlier, just kind of focusing on the things that we need to get better at. So we've had more focus on that. And I'm sure next week we'll start focusing a little bit more on UMass. I mean, I know, you know, we're lucky, like we talked about, having an older team here. They know what to expect from UMass. So I don't think there'll be any surprises. I think we know how they play. But we'll get more into them next week and try to, you know, focus a little bit more on them. But this week is still trying to build our game and focus on ourselves.
Oh, good to get a breath and refocus and to do it after the start that you've had, which overall has been auspicious for what is to come. Coach, thanks very much. Appreciate the time for joining us, and we'll look forward to getting back and getting on the ice next week.
Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate it.
Coach Jay Pandolfo joining us here this week on Inside BU Hockey.
Welcome back, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey. I'm Owen Gund here with our men's hockey player of the week, Lane Hutson. Lane scored twice in the Terriers' most recent matchup, a thrilling 2-1 overtime win over the 17th-ranked UMass Lowell Riverhawks. Lane is one of six freshmen to join the Terriers this season. Lane, thanks so much for taking the time to join the show. How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, pleasure to have you on, and I think it's going to be great for the Terrier fans to get to know you a little bit. So I guess getting right into things, you could kind of tell us a little bit about your hockey origin story, how you got into it, and when you started playing.
Yeah, I just got into hockey from my dad. You know, my dad played pro for a little bit. He played D1 college for UIC, which they don't have a team anymore, but he played in Chicago. And, you know, I've been playing since I was three. He put me in skates as soon as I could walk, and, you know, I never looked back.
Yeah, no, that's definitely awesome. And, I mean, you mentioned your dad there. Who are some hockey role models for you growing up?
For me, I was a huge Blackhawks fan. I loved to watch Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith when they were winning Stanley Cups. For me, you know, the Blackhawks were a big part of my career for sure.
Did you go to a lot of games growing up? I mean, I know you were in Chicago area for a good amount of time, right?
Yeah, I was in Chicago for pretty much all my youth career besides the last few years. But yeah, I definitely have been to quite a few Blackhawks games.
That's awesome. And I guess now switching gears a little bit, like, you know, once the recruiting process comes along, at what point was it for you, like, that you want to play college hockey? And then what drew you to be you kind of?
I wanted, just develop and keep playing at higher levels. I feel like, you know, whether it's major, junior, or college, I feel like, you know, the college level is a very competitive and very competitive level. And, you know, every game means so much in the college level. So I think the competition's much harder. And I know everyone's stronger, faster. So that definitely drew me into college. And then on top of that, coming to BU and just being here, you know, it's a really storied organization that, you know, has a track record of putting guys in the NHL. And, you know, for me, that's my ultimate goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for the recruiting process, like getting to BU, was it Coach O'Connell who was recruiting you?
Yeah.
Okay. And what was that whole like process like? Like, when was the first time you sort of started talking to him?
I started talking to him when I was around 14, and then I committed maybe later in my U14 year. And you know, I just remember being really excited, and you know, kind of, I knew it was a little ways out, but I was just, you know, looking forward to it, but also at the same time, just, you know, continue to grow my game at the level I was at the time.
And then, you know, I know your brother actually ended up committing after you. Just what was it like once you found out that he was going to be at BU with you too?
Yeah, you know, I kind of had an idea that, you know, he maybe wanted to come play with me. And, you know, I was pretty happy when, you know, it was official, and now we're both here and we both love it.
Yeah, definitely. And then over the summer, obviously a little bit of change, you know, you find out that Jay's going to be the head coach. Just what was that like for you? What were those initial conversations with Jay like?
Yeah, you know, I was excited. I mean, you know, you see what he's done in his career in the NHL. You know, he knows how to win and he knows what it takes. And, you know, he wants to also develop players too. So I was really excited, especially with the conversations we had before I even came here. You know, you just let me know that, you know, it's going to be competitive, but, you know, you're going to get your chances, and, you know, everything you get here, you're going to earn. So I was, you know, really happy to hear that.
Definitely. And you mentioned your development as a player. It must have been thrilling for you to get drafted by the Habs this year. Just what was that like getting drafted and hearing your name called by them?
Yeah, being at, you know, the Canadiens' home rink, I mean, it was pretty special. You know, the fans seemed to like the pick, so you know, I felt like I scored. It was really exciting. And then, you know, just the way that the fans are, I mean, they're hardcore there. They love it. And, you know, it's really exciting.
No, definitely. They are hardcore. They seem to be tweeting about you all the time, so that's always funny to see. But in terms of just, like, over the summer, you know, development camp you had with the Habs, just what was that whole experience like once you're in the system?
You know, it was really cool. You know, something that I'll never forget. I mean, you come for a skills session in the morning, which is like 9 a.m. and the stands are just packed. Everyone around the rink is watching. You know, not many teams are having that at a rink with fans who are that invested in the team. And then on top of it, you know, we have great skills coaches, you know, great coaches in general, strength coaches. Everything was just top tier at the development camp.
That's awesome. And you mentioned the great coaching staff that you have over there. Just kind of what's your contact like with them, you know, now that you're in season at BU?
Yeah, every once in a while, just, you know, get a text, respond, you know, kind of just checking in. But nothing too much, just kind of, you know, let me do my thing, and then they obviously do their thing. So,
yeah, absolutely. And then on the topic of the Habs, but this will kind of transition into BU. You know, you have Luke Tuck in the system with you. Just how cool has that been, having one of your teammates at BU also, you know, going through the process with you with development camps and all that with the Habs as well?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really cool. It makes it a lot easier on me, you know, having someone that I, you know with me at the camps, and then, you know, just being able to bounce ideas off them and, you know, kind of asking questions. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Luke Tuck, part of the leadership group this year. I'm wondering kind of what their main messages have been, things that they've harped on throughout this season.
Yeah, just, you know, one thing that they're stressing to us is that, you know, we're going to need everyone eventually. So, you know, you just got to buy in and just be, you know, about the team. It's like right now it's just all about the team, and whatever you can do to help, you got to do, and you got to step up and, you know, just do your thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then for you, you've been playing with Case McCarthy as your D partner for, I believe, every single game this year. What's that been like for you playing alongside him?
Yeah, Mac makes it easy on me. You know, he's someone who I can, you know, he he can cover for me, I can cover for him, but he's like, you know, he can shut it down, and you know, he just makes it easy. I feel confident when I can join plays and knowing he's back there, and then also feel confident that, you know, we can get pucks out clean, and you know, he's always talking on the ice, so it makes it easy on me.
And good weekend for you guys, or at least the way the weekend ended against Lowell. Just what were kind of your general thoughts? Because they seemed to give you everything they had, but must have felt good to come out on top on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, one thing that we want to start doing is, you know, maybe getting some mixing some sweeps. But you know, obviously they played great that first night, and then the second night they were, you know, they were tough to play against. But also, you know, we were creating lots of chances, and you know, momentum was swinging in our way, and yeah, just, you know, it was really a really fun finish.
And I guess for you personally too, I mean, two goals that I'm sure you'll remember. But I guess I want to start with the first one. How did it feel just getting the pass from your brother there?
Yeah, you know, it was really special. You know, I know I found him in the exhibition game, and you know, he was pretty happy about that one, but you know, for him to return the favor in a pretty big game, that was a pretty special moment for both of us.
And what's it like just being able to come to the rink with him every day? Are you guys like as siblings, like competitive and all that, or just what's it like being with him every day?
Yeah, we're very competitive. I mean, you know, when one of us wins and one of us loses, there's going to be a fight. But you know, it's been nice having him on my team, so it's been a little easier. But yeah, we're both very competitive, but at the same time, it's good to have him here because he's a good support system for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I did also hear that, you know, you guys are a little bit competitive outside of hockey in certain things too, like on the golf course. And I heard also that he only golfs in flip-flops. Is that true?
Yeah, he does. He likes to think that, you know, he's like, it's just his thing, I guess. And, you know, I'm not going to stop him or say he can't do that because, I mean, it works for him. And, you know, that's the one thing he'll maybe get me at. It's just he's better at golf.
That's awesome. Just how cool has it been for your family just having both of you guys there? Like, are they able to make it to some games? Or I'm sure they're always tuning in.
Yeah, my parents have been to I think almost every game besides one, because they're out in New Jersey right now with my youngest brother who's playing in New Jersey. So, you know, it's a pretty close drive to here. So, you know, they've been able to make it out, and it's been good. It makes it easy for all of us.
Yeah. Well, Lane, last question from me here. You know, you do have the opportunity to play in front of the Dog Pound Loyal student section. Just what has been kind of your favorite part about playing at Aganis in front of them?
Just, you know, it's just loud. It's really loud every night. Even when it seems like it, you know, it might be a quiet night, you know, no one's going to come, but, you know, people have been showing up and, you know, bringing the energy, and, you know, we couldn't ask for anything else. It's what we want, and, you know, hopefully we can bring in even more people.
Yeah, well, certainly awesome. I'm sure it'll help when the band is playing the trumpet song for the warm-ups. I know from talking to some of you guys that really seems to get you guys going. So Lane, thanks so much for joining the podcast here. It was great having you on, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks.
Of course. And that'll do it for this week's men's hockey player segment here on Inside BU Hockey.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Inside BU Hockey. I'm Sasha Abrams, and this week's women's segment features senior forward Julia Nears. Julia, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Julia, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What's your major? Any interests you have outside of hockey?
Yeah, so I'm from Beverly, Massachusetts, so not too far, about 35, 40 minutes north of here, so it's a nice commute for my parents to come to games, but I'm a journalism major here at BU, senior, so that's been fun. Hopefully looking to get that degree next spring. Outside of hockey, I don't know, it's so hard because sometimes that's all I do is hockey, but I don't know, I like to go on walks a lot, especially if I have the time. I like the Brookline area. There's like a dog park that I like to go to, so that's something to do that I like.
And how old were you when you got involved in hockey, and how did it happen?
Honestly, I started skating when I was 3 years old because my dad, he loved hockey, played it, just like, not like bigger professionally, but he always played it throughout his life. So he got us kids into it. At an early age, he would build a rink outside in our backyard, and we would always be on there. But when I started playing like team hockey, I think I was like 6 years old, I want to say. Yeah, 6 years old. So I've been doing it for quite some time.
And was there a moment when you decided hockey was going to be a part of your identity?
Honestly, looking back, it's kind of hard to think. I mean, I just knew that I wasn't just on one team. I was always on a couple other hockey teams, and I just loved it so much. It was a bit different than a lot of the other sports. So that I was doing like baseball or like softball or soccer. I was never much of a good runner, so hockey kind of fit that. But I don't know. I started to get good at it, and it was fun to be able to continue it.
I know you come from a family of BC alumni. Tell me about your decision to become a Terrier and how your family took it.
I knew this way that you picked this up in sports journalism. So, I mean, not too much of a family background in BC. It's just my grandfather went there. My uncle met my aunt there. And my dad, just like, I don't know, we just kind of were attracted to BC, just especially from a hockey standpoint. Growing up, like, I loved watching, like, Johnny Gaudreau, big names like that, the Hayes brothers. So that it was always fun, and we would always end up just going there. It was kind of a crazy process because when it came down to, like, my senior year in high school, it came down to two schools, which was BU and BC. And I just kind of knew a lot of people on BC, a lot of Mass hockey people that just, you know, ended up there. And BU kind of had a lot more diverse athletes. So I kind of wanted to start a new adventure here at BU. And it's glad I made that decision.
Obviously, hockey has been a big part of your life. Do you have any plans to stay involved in the sport post-grad?
Yeah, of course. I am looking to do a fifth year, so hopefully I'll have one more, obviously, eligibility. Looking forward to that, so not hanging up skates just quite yet. But I don't know, I kind of want to answer that maybe in a year, maybe next year, and see where that goes, if I'm all done, or maybe I want to go professionally. But at the whole end game is to be a broadcaster, I think, in the sport. And when we saw Catherine Tappan in our sports journalism class, I've been watching her since I was maybe 8 years old, watching the Bruins game, I think. And I just love, she was so good at what she did, and I was like, I kind of want to do that. And I figured if I can do anything good, well, it's talk hockey, so hopefully that can continue.
If you could relive one moment while playing for the BU women's hockey team, what would it be and why?
There's one that I always love is when my freshman year, we played BC for the first round of the Beanpot, and we clapped them 5-0 or 6-0. And it was just a good, we were such a strong team. That I'd say that year was a lot of fun, but one of the most memorable ones was definitely Beanpot my freshman year.
What's one piece of hockey advice you would give your peewee 6-year-old self?
One would be don't get so frustrated at the refs. I still kind of struggle with that, but obviously it's a work in progress still. But I started training at a really young age. It's not like I had to, train earlier than I did, but I would definitely say try to always keep a positive mindset on things. Look for the good instead of what went wrong. That's what I would say.
Now you're leading your team in goals with 4 and points with 7 after a pair of goals in Saturday's game. How's the season been so far from your perspective?
I think I have a really good group of girls. I'd say our record has not really showed that. just last weekend when we got swept by BC, the second game, we were down 5-1. And then the last period, we almost came back, and it was 5-4. And that showed a lot of, like, that I think definitely showed everybody on the team that anything's possible if, you know, we come together. So it's just more towards, like, executing. Like, there's not it's very hard to, like, pinpoint which way to go in terms of, like, what's the best way to go about our record right now. But the best thing is obviously to stay positive. You know, it is still early. It's not the end. So we still have a lot of big games coming up, especially this weekend. So I think going forward, the best way to go approach it is just take it game after game.
Yeah. Like you said, it's still early in the season. Your team holds a 3-5-0 record overall and a 2-4-0 in Hockey East. So what are you anticipating for the rest of the season?
I just think I really want to win. I want to win Hockey East. That's one of my goals. So I think if we continue like a close culture that we already have, that's gonna be a big help. And just, you know, staying focused, that's the number one thing. Is sometimes it's a long season, so there are times where maybe going to the rink isn't your favorite thing to do after you got maybe an exam or something like that. So just, like, staying focused and really taking that whole preparation for practice, and hopefully that can lead us into wins in the weekend.
Finishing last season second in points overall with 20, you've been a star player for BU in the last 4 years. Looking back, what can you say about the development of your game at BU and under Coach DeRozier?
I think it's always been in my career, not just, you know, here at BU, but I've always been a bigger girl, so it's always, like, to get faster. I think my strength is a strength of mine. But just, like, I've always wanted to continue, and I have been doing well with it, training every year for it, but definitely my speed, I want to continue with that, and I think it's definitely improved. Just, like, I remember just the other day I was watching, like, my old high school videos just to, like, see, and I was like, wow, I was so slow, like, you know what I mean? So just, like, it's a long season, like I said, and Brian BD, as we call him, he's always stressed, you know, for me to get faster, and I think I've grown since freshman year, so that's definitely, I'd say, a positive I've still trying to accomplish, but I've gotten better at, I should say.
The team welcomed 5 freshmen and 2 transfers to the team. As a senior, how have you found the role of leading the newcomers?
I don't find it difficult at all. I mean, I don't have a letter, but I don't need one. It's definitely, I just enjoy, I love the idea of, like, having new people join this whole, family that we've always had at BU, and that's what we've done. It's not just me, but a bunch of seniors have contributed to making this culture so great and warm and welcoming, so it's kind of easy to lead in that way when we all get along, and that's and plus one of the transfers, Andrea, she's our one of the goalies, she's like 25 or something, 26, so she like kind of understands college hockey, so she actually leads herself too. But overall, it's not been hard to lead. It's I've learned a lot through BU in general from other past captains, so definitely taking parts of them and trying to infiltrate this year.
And this weekend you played on a line with Lacey Martin and Madison Cardassi. How's the chemistry between you guys been so far?
It was kind of a last minute combo, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I love playing with Lacey. We played together last year, we're very offensive, and I think in our part, we've been doing a really good job with that. When they added Maddie this weekend, she's usually defense. So it was kind of funny, but she stepped into that role. She scored her first goal. You know, she contributed a lot. And obviously, like, it's her first couple weeks playing for it, so there's some stuff to work on, but she's been very, you know, open-minded, hearing our feedback, and I think one of our biggest strengths is communication on the bench, what we want to do, so it's been good. Hopefully it'll keep going in next week, and because it's an offensive line and we need to score goals.
And so the last question here for me is, you're already leading goal scorer, which is a huge accomplishment. Do you have any other goals for the season or the team?
I've always wanted, you know, to, like, be the one to make the play or score the goal. Like, I'm always hungry around the net. And I think that'll come. But as long as everybody's on the same page, I think we're all looking forward to taking it game by game, because we obviously haven't shown that our best game so far, I'd say. But if I were to say, like, a goal, definitely is hockey's. But maybe even looking before that, I think a lot of people are excited for Vegas coming up. That's going to be a fun tournament. But yeah, there's definitely tournaments to look forward to. But before, I don't want to speak too much. So definitely game by game is how we're going to have to take it.
Julia, thanks so much for joining us this week. It's been great having you on, and best of luck on the rest of the season.
Thank you, Sasha.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of Inside BU Hockey.